Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here with our good friend Todd Sadowski from Fox 43, talking some college football, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic will join us in a little while. We'll talk, you know, really look ahead to the final weekend of the college football season, some of these championship games, some of the work that needs to be done yet to iron out that four-team college football playoff field. Ask Greg will be our fourth and final segment, but we do, as Penn State wraps up its regular season at 9-3 with a 31-3 win over Maryland, we would start with the stock report, stock up, stock down, our final one, I believe, of the season before we get into the bowl picture. A lot of stock up, guys. I mean, I think as a whole, one of, if not the most complete performance of the year for Penn State. So there's a lot of guys across the board whose stock rose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I'll open the bidding with Miles Sanders, who, even though he fumbled, showcased yet again why he was number six, I believe, in Mel Kiper's draft rankings, even though he would have to declare early to come out in the NFL draft. I'll be curious to see how any of Penn State's players that come out decide to handle this, guys, because they could obviously put their name into the draft advisory board, wait it out. Now they could announce after the bowl game. They could announce before the bowl game. They could announce, I believe, the cutoff usually like January 15th, something like that. So, I mean, they certainly have options at this point. But Miles Sanders is going to be in that conversation. And certainly he showed again, even with the fumble on Saturday, you know, that he has that kind of, you know, ability to maybe play at the next level.
Greg, I'll go with the offensive line in front of Miles Sanders for stock up. And if there's a room that you want a lot of competition in the offseason and going into next year, it's the offensive line room. You want to build up a lot of competition, push these guys to the next level, because I think the team has a lot of potential in the future. On the defensive side of the ball, we know it's the offensive line. I think it's really going to be the catalyst for some great seasons coming up in the next few years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I guess I'll continue the bidding at stock up, and I'll go with over on the defensive side of the ball, a very simple one, Iter Gross Matos. There's no, you don't really need much of a handbook of stock up, stock down.
Didn't think the stock could go much higher, yeah, but it did, didn't it?
To figure that out. I mean, the average 20 tackles for loss. It's rare air for a Penn State player. Guys, is he underrated on the national scene, or is he going to get his due here as the award show start to roll out their honors over the next couple of weeks here?
I think underrated would probably be a good way to put it. I think he needs to deliver a performance like this on a big stage. I mean, if you think about what it takes to get onto a national radar, I think the stats he's accumulating, I think the bowl game will be an opportunity. You'll have these TV broadcasts who will have a chance to actually study the full scope of the season and see how impactful he's been. And I think that'll be a theme in whoever Penn State plays. That'll be a theme in that bowl game in the broadcast.
I think that's the point, Dustin, that comes up with the 2018 team in general. There just wasn't a lot of national big-time moments that they were able to capitalize on. The Penn State-Ohio State game would have been one of those moments. Oddly enough, one of Trace McSorley's best games and one of the more revealing games of his character football-wise was in that game. He did everything possible he could to win the game, and then it just came down, obviously, to the 4th-and-5 situation. So for the team in general, I just don't think they made much of a splash because they didn't have that big-time victory. They had an opportunity against Michigan, but with McSorley, you know, barely 60%, whatever, of what he could do running the ball, they didn't really do much. So, you know, those things may hurt the Iter Gross Matoses and those types of things when it comes to postseason awards.
I think where this is really going to pay dividends is the start of next season where, you know, numbers-wise and things like that, he will, you know, he'll be a preseason, I don't know about All-America, he'll be a preseason All-Big Ten guy. He'll be on the radar and he'll be, you know, he'll start the season on the radar. I don't think a lot of people knew who he was to start the year. He's a true sophomore now whose rise didn't really begin until the middle of this season. You saw flashes before, but he's been dominant of late, and he'll get his due eventually. He will get his due, I think, maybe for the bowl game. The defense as a whole, You know, obviously when Chris Matos is living in the Maryland backfield, 3.5 tackles for loss, 15 tackles for loss in all. I think the way that they played and the way that they smothered this Maryland attack didn't really give a lot of there wasn't a lot of green space for those running backs to run through. And I think it was a testament to just everybody playing their part. And that's always the big key when you have a team that, you know, likes to do what Matt Canada likes to do, which is to really stretch you on the outside and try to open you up on the inside and try to get that mix and match. You know, you mentioned a couple years ago when Matt Canada was leading the Pitt offense, Penn State was on its heels and they were reacting to what Pitt was doing. On this occasion, they were dictating that. And I think just from top to bottom, planning, execution, guys on the defensive side knowing what their role is and being comfortable playing that role, it was a very, very good performance top to bottom. The 15 tackles for loss were, I don't want to say they're icing on the cake because they helped Penn State keep Maryland behind the chains, but really a terrific performance on both sides of the ball, but definitely the defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I guess moving on then and sticking with the defensive side of the ball, I mean, it was such a good game, but stock up to Brent Pry. I mean, sort of going off of what you just said, they really didn't let Maryland get going at any point in the game, and I thought his blitz packages were creative. I thought they kept the Pigram kid from Maryland on the move more often than not, and that really was able to allow them to set up a defense that did not let the very dangerous, very talented Anthony McFarland get loose at any point in time, guys. So big time stock up there for that.
Well, I think Tyrell Pigram led the team and stepping out of bounds without getting hit in that particular game.
Especially in the second half.
Yeah, he wanted to duck out, and he wanted no part of some of the Penn State defenders. And it's a good point, Greg, about Coach Pry. You know, the Nittany Lions talk all the time and pride themselves in player development, and that's certainly what we saw on the defensive side of the ball as the linebacking core we knew in the future would be a strength, but as it turned out towards the end of the year, really it didn't turn out to, you know, it turned out to be a pretty good unit overall. So a stock up to Micah Parsons that in that regard too, and the linebacking core in general. But I'll go ahead and move over to the offensive side of the ball and say Pat Freiermuth. I mean, this guy is just consistent. You wouldn't know he's a true freshman as far as a tight end and what he's been able to contribute in the passing game. But you know, a lot of times people are limited at that first year as a true freshman from a physical standpoint when you're being asked to block. But you know, Freiermuth's been able to do everything for that team, and it's really that's going to be a strength, I think, for years to come as you develop the other guys, the other talented players on the roster too at the tight end position.
And really, another true freshman, Pat Freiermuth, with those 7 touchdown grabs, a steady presence, and a guy that, you know, in those red zone situations, he's not Mike Gesicki in terms of the way he controls his body, but the trust that Trace McSorley has in him comes through because he's often utilized in that role, kind of like Gesicki was for the last couple years he was on campus. But Ricky Slade, What do you think the odds are we're going to get an explanation of why he disappeared for
you won't.
6 weeks?
Stock down to thinking that.
way to stay in theme there. But, boy, he just brings something so different to the table with those explosive, choppy steps and little different runner. You know, he forces the action a little bit more than Miles Sanders does, which, you know, stylistically, you can go one way or the other. It's fine. But he's very explosive and quick to see and hit a hole. And in this game where he scores twice, I think he finished with 64 yards, too. He really showed on a day where that Miles Sanders, will he, won't he go to the draft? It was good timing for him to, you know, reestablish, like, this position's in good hands moving forward.
Right.
If I'm the guy, we're going to be okay. And I think Penn State fans felt that. And I don't think anybody really got to a point where they're looking forward to seeing Miles Sanders go, but they feel reassured because Ricky Slade can really do some good things as a runner.
Yeah, he absolutely can. I mean, he showed that. Same thing with Journey Brown. I think that he's an underrated part of the future of this offense, guys. He is extremely explosive. He's very quick, which we knew all along, and he's starting to figure out how to play the running back position. So I think Penn State's in great shape at the running back spot, which is why, you know, as they continue to recruit and get out on the road, they're going to try and find one more guy in this class of 2019. But if they don't find him, it's not the end of the world.
I think everybody's hoping that the stock stays up for Jake Pinniger, who had a good end of the season run as the kicker. That was a concern middle of the season against Michigan State. Hit a complete dud of a field goal try in that one. That was costly. But the confidence for that true freshman to come in there and get the job done, you know, because you got to figure at some point in the next year or two, there's going to be some critical kicks he's going to have to convert against the bigger time opponents to get, instead of the 9-3, the 10-2, the 11-1 type of season. You're going to need those critical kicks out of Jake Pinneger.
What about Juwan Johnson being back in uniform and productive on the few targets that he got, a big play down the field? I still believe that for this offense to be at its full capacity, you need a guy like Juwan Johnson, not only with his size, but you need him to be himself. And I don't think it's unfair to say he just hasn't been himself.
But I think
all year.
Justin Shorter will answer a lot of that, though, too.
Moving
I mean,
forward,
you may
sure.
not need Juwan Johnson if Justin Shorter's going to step up and be that type of receiver from a size, you know, point of view. To you know, that will be
looking ahead, but right now,
yeah.
You know, right now I think his ability and we haven't seen him get much into the deep passing game, which that's where there will be a difference with Justin Shorter, is that he can do that. But for Juwan Johnson to just make timely catches and to be a guy who can body out cornerbacks, you know, I think it opens up things for the Penn State offense. And he showed a little bit of that, maybe a little dose of optimism going into the bowl game.
Yeah, and I hope he figures it out, guys. I enjoy talking with him. He seems like a great kid. And
yep.
But that's all up to Juwan Johnson. I mean, the ship sailed a little bit on his situation.
Sure did.
So he's going to have to get himself back into the mix and do all the right things in practice and catch everything that's thrown his way. I mean, you know, we saw Gesicki go through the drops in early in his career, and he got that fixed. You know, but Juwan Johnson's running out of time to get that situation, you know, pieced together. There's too many other guys in that on that position group.
Do you guys see any stock downs? I mean, there were a couple of things. I would say
weather.
Yeah. Weather.
Stock down to you, Mr. Weather.
Yeah.
Parking.
Yeah. Parking for sure. That's something they got to get figured out, guys. We talked about it a little bit off the air. It's brutal. I don't know what the solution is. Historic rainfall totals, grass lots don't play well. But there's a lot of people paying a lot of good money for those parking spots on grass lots, and they expect to use them. And they really have been impacted in their ability to do so this year.
Tough situation, and you saw just a different feel around Beaver Stadium for this game. There just wasn't any traffic.
It was bizarre, to say the least.
To hear the announced attendance at 98,000 plus, which is
saying, say 140 probably.
I estimated like maybe 50
at the
50
most,
or so.
50,
yeah. That not close
blue
to
white
that
attendance. Blue white spring.
That's what it felt
attendance.
Like. Yeah, that's a good way to start there. But yeah, I think stock down to parking.
There
something you got to fix moving forward. We're moving forward here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Audrey Snyder will talk Penn State, Maryland, and some other things as well. Come after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.